Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into the Coffee Break Podcast. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for checking us out today. Typically, we're going to be adding a fresh pot of coffee up here Monday through Friday, but we've got lots of great content in the archives from our pre-podcast days, and I want to make some of that available to you as well. So on Saturdays, we're going to dip into the archive and bring out some of those chats for you. A bit of Coffee Break cold brew, if you will. So let's get it going now. We've got Joe Peggs on the line to talk to us about politics, his personal life, and I think we're going to talk some pizza. Thanks for taking some time this morning. I sure appreciate it.
You bet.
Joe, you were born in New York, and then you moved to Florida when you were pretty young, right?
7, yeah.
And then, did I read, is that right, that you were a store president with Domino's Pizza?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, yeah, I make the heck out of a pizza.
So how do you fall into that? I don't know if that's if we can call it a career, because it didn't last a long time, but how do you fall into something like that?
Well, I was a driver for Domino's at 18, and I made a lot of money. I always had a pocket full of ones. I would actually iron them to make it look, you know, nice and uniform. And then when the opportunity opened to get into the MIT program, which was manager in training, I did that, and I managed 3 different stores and had a great time. I thought for a while that would be my career.
But then got into, obviously, radio. How does that switch happen? How do you go from pizza to radio?
Really didn't. I mean, I was a music major in college, a saxophone performance major, and I was playing my saxophone out and about, and I was doing Domino's and driving a truck on the weekend. I mean, whatever I could do to scratch some nickels together and start saving some money. But I always thought that I would be in broadcasting at some point. I've got an audio tape somewhere when I'm 10 or 11 years old. And I'm doing WPAG radio over the DJs, you know, playing music. And I always knew that I would somehow transition into that. I didn't really know how I would do it. I ended up calling from one of the pizza places. I ended up calling a radio station in Belleglade, Florida, which is right out on Lake Okeechobee. If you look at a map of Florida, you'll see a big lake in the middle of it. And I called them, and they said, "Yeah, sure, come on out." And I got like $4 an hour and started learning how to be the guy on the radio.
15, 20 years ago, you moved into talk radio, right? When did that happen? And I guess talk me through that transition.
Well, I started doing radio in like 1989. And I did that, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, something like that. We ended up going from Belleglade out to Marco Island, Florida. And we had a station that was a duopoly. It was an AM, FM, you know, duo. One was in Immokalee, which is a place, I don't even know if anybody lives in Immokalee, Florida, but it's just in the middle of nowhere. And I wasn't making ends meet and went back to making pizzas. I went back to a place called Damo's Pizza, where my parents, you know, ended up buying into a restaurant, and my wife and I ran it. And I got a call from a guy while I was making pizzas one day named Jack Taddeo. And he was a radio consultant. He's now in Iowa, I believe, as a general manager. But he called. He said, "Listen, I know that you worked out in Marco Island, and I know that you played records over here, and there's a station transitioning in West Palm Beach, and they'd like to talk to you." And I said, "Well, I'm making pizzas now." And he said, "Well, if you can, just go talk to the guy." So I got back into music radio in Palm Beach County from 92 to 94, and really, really always wanted to be in news radio, always took an interest in the news since I was 10 years old. And ended up moving to Michigan because there were opportunities there at a radio station called WSTW, just a part-time thing. And I also transitioned from that into television. So I was doing both TV and radio at the same time in Saginaw County, Michigan. At the same time, I was hosting karaoke. I was painting barns. I was doing whatever I could do. But that's sort of how I made the move to talk. I always wanted to be in talk. Never really thought I'd be a DJ all the time. I thought that I'd be a guy who would talk about the news of the day, and I thought I'd be pretty good at that.
I think people don't realize how hard maybe it is to break into talk and break into radio and that sort of thing. I mean, I'm clearly not at your level, but I sold vacuum cleaners door to door for a while. And it's interesting. I mean, I got vacuum cleaners. You got pizza.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I drove dump trucks. I mean, we guys like us make a decision. We're going to be broadcasters or we're not. And my goal was to be one. But I also had to eat, so it was hard. You have to jockey 3, 4, 5, 6 jobs now. I mean, I make more money now in a day than I probably made in a few months back then, or maybe even half a year. You know, that's just the commentary too. There really is no overnight success. You work your face off. You do everything you have to do to achieve this goal, and always keep your eye on the prize. I still have goals today. I mean, obviously, but life is very different 30 years later.
We're chatting this morning with Joe Peggs. You can hear his show right here on KCAP 4 to 6 in the afternoon. We're one of, what, Joe, you're around 100 stations that you're on now?
Yeah, it's 112, but who's counting?
Well, I know you are. That's why I wanted to ask you and get that exact number.
Yes, it's 112.
What is that like? I mean, to see, because this is something that you fought for, that you kind of, you grind away, you try to get into this thing, and you think, okay, I finally made it. I'm on a station. I'm on 10 stations. I mean, you're up over that 100 mark. That's a big deal.
Well, it is. It feels really, really good. It's actually humbling, although that's hard to believe with as big as my ego is. But it's humbling to know that the show is wide-ranging enough and interesting enough and entertaining enough that so many stations would be interested in it. And as we go, like this week, I'm hoping to add another couple. We keep on sort of expanding the traction and the footprint, but it really is, it's a commentary to a really good staff, to really good, you know, entertaining things that we do, and certainly the news of the day and giving a perspective on it. But I always hoped that we would do this, but it's very rare that people get to get on 100 stations. I mean, it's a very small number of people who get to do that. And, of course, there are people much bigger, too. But it's humbling. It truly is. I can't thank stations like yours and all the great listeners at KCAP and just the wonderful stations around the country who gave us a shot. It's hard to get a shot. There are established names out there who do this in my time slot, and to get a shot is already an honor. But once you get on there, if people like it and want to keep it, it just feels great.
Now, you're down in Texas now, right? That's where you're based at?
San Antonio, yeah.
Yeah, I heard you talking the other day with, when I was down, I spent about 10 years down in Abilene. And so I know Judge Ted Poe. He's no longer Judge Ted Poe, but I heard you talk to him, and I thought, you know, that's a name I know.
It's funny because Ted and I go back a good 12 years. I've been in Texas now 13 years. And he started coming on early on, and we became, you know, fast friends. And if he could, and if he had time, I think Ted would come on 2 or 3 times a week. He loves talking to the people. We love hanging out and laughing a little bit. He had a health scare, but he came back around. But he's just a really good dude who understands the border, because we're so close down here, understands the constituency, and understands traditional American values. Love having Ted Poe on. And unfortunately, he's leaving soon. He's decided to go spend more time with the family.
You mentioned health scare. You had a health scare yourself not that long ago, back in, what was it, about 7, 8 years ago?
Yeah, 8 years ago now. I had testicular cancer. It's not the kind of cancer you want. I'm going to put it out there.
Is there one that you want, Joe?
No, probably not. But I mean, skin cancer can be horrible, but I think that's better than having a body part that you're kind of attached to or removed.
Sure. But everything going well now, right? I mean, complete recovery.
Completely cancer-free. Thank God. We're working out like a maniac, and I feel healthy. At 52, I feel better than I felt at 44. So,
what's going on in work life? I mean, we sort of talked personal life and how you got into this, but I mean, this is, we're living in a time that's not like any other that we've been in. I mean, as far as just how divided we are, how big the divide is. I mean, what's it like working on the front lines of talk radio, talking with officials, talking with people every day? It's got to be, this is different than what it has been, isn't it?
Well, the challenge for me, and probably for you as well, is to try to break away from it for a second. Like, I've got a parody that I'm going to be playing today on the show, or yesterday on the show, and it's about the recount in Florida. I try to take really sucky stories, and these stories stink, man. I mean, I'm so sick and tired of the left versus right and the hatred and the Antifa showing up at somebody's house and yelling people out of restaurants. It's just a horrible, horrible negative time. I try to every day, and this is hard because some days I don't achieve this, to try to lighten things up a little bit. I try to have some fun with Carrie or Polo or Sam on the show. I try to sing a song. We try to talk about body functions if we can. It's hard, though, Troy. I got to tell you, man. You know, waking up in the morning, I can do 8 hours a day on the negativity that's out there. I don't want to, but I could. And I think sometimes we get mired in that. Our jobs, I truly believe, is to entertain the people. Like last week I did a parody about Beto O'Rourke, this guy, Robert Francis O'Rourke, who was running for Senate in Texas, got huge national attraction. Ellen loved him. He's on the late night TV shows all the time. And I did a song about it. And my favorite thing to get is a phone call, an email, a tweet from somebody who says, I had to pull off the road because I was crying so hard, laughing at that song. That's the challenge, because I really do think my job is to entertain. And entertain can mean just spend time with you on the way home or while you're ironing the clothes or cooking for the kids or at work. But at the same time, if I can't make people smile laugh and get away from it for a second, I'm probably not achieving what I need to. At the same time, you can't ignore the news of the day because then I'd be an idiot. So it's kind of a balance. I can't not talk about Trump or the Trump tweets. I can't not entertain. I can't, you know, ignore Florida. So that's sort of what I jumble. I got to be honest with you. It was easier when Obama was the president because every single day he gave me something to make fun of. Now, it's like people hate each other. It's very weird.
So how do you personally survive? How do you escape? Because at some point, you've got to just take a mental break from all this, don't you?
Well, it's not easy. I sometimes try to shut off social media, but people who follow me on there know that I'm pretty active all the time. I'm also constantly afraid that I'll miss something, and I don't want to miss anything. I sleep very little, and I pay way too much attention. But I'll watch basketball. I mean, I love my Spurs, and I'll try to just take a breath and sit outside and just play with the kids and stuff. But it's hard. It's hard to disconnect. If I disconnect too much, I'll miss something, and then the show won't be as pertinent as it needs to be. It's sort of a constant battle of do I need to take this time to myself, or should I focus some more on this parody that I want to do, or write this article, or go and do this appearance somewhere? So how do I? I don't know. I don't know how I relax. I think that I find a few minutes here and there.
I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. It's brought to you by News Radio 95 KCAP. Now, back to the show. Welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around this morning. I'm glad you did. You're going to be glad you did because we're continuing our conversation with Joe Pags this morning. He's got a national talk show. He's heard on 112 stations across the country. One of them right here, KCAP. You can hear his show every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. Joe, before the break, we're chatting and you bring up the parodies. How long have you been doing that? Because that sort of is one of those things where it seems like you decided, I'm going to try this once, and it just sort of snowballed and went from there.
The first parody I did was probably, well, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, maybe even more, and it was about the TSA being so rough on travelers. And I did it to the tune of YMCA. I did YTSA, and it took off. People were crying. They were laughing so hard. It was just a way to do a really serious news story and make fun of it. And at this point, I probably have 400 or 500 of these things. And again, as I said, in college, I was a music major, so I play the piano, I write music. You know, I'm an idiot when it comes to writing dumb lyrics, and I insist on singing them myself. Which sometimes I really think I sound good, but the ones that they love is when I sound kind of crappy. So I don't know. It's one of those things. I think that Carrie's reaction to it, when I first started doing it, probably implored me to do it some more as well. I did one about a girl, and it might have even been in Montana, I don't remember, but she was sent home from school because she showed her collarbone on some sweater that she was wearing. I guess it didn't cover up whatever the student handbook said, and they found the collarbone to be too sexual. And I did it to some slow R&B song from the 1970s, where I was, you know, pressing the echo button, girl, collarbone, doing stuff like that, and I was crying so hard, Troy, when I did this, I was crying laughing so hard that it was absolutely vital. Like 40,000, 50,000 people went and downloaded it on YouTube, and at that point, I figured, you know, I've got something different. You know, I'm in the top 15, top talk show hosts in the country, whatever that means. But I know that what I do that's different is none of them will sing and act like idiots and be laughed at and do it on purpose. So I think that we bring something different there. The reaction, had the reaction been different than that, I probably would have stopped. But people seem to like them.
We're talking with Joe Pags this morning. You can hear him right here on KCAP from 4 to 6. Joe, you probably ought to release a best of album on those things. You know, the proceeds go into a charity of your choice. You know, I mean, there's something that we can work with here.
Well, I didn't even ever put them up for download because the music isn't mine. but I'm allowed to make satire and parody out of somebody else's song. I don't want to profit, by it necessarily, but what I have done is on the website, joepags.com, I now put a section for parodies where people can go listen to them, can go download them, but I probably won't sell them. Now, we have done stuff for charity where we've done serious songs, like we did Texas Strong, where a song that I wrote last year after Hurricane Harvey, we put that out for download. We raised $3,500 or something for hurricane relief, and I sent that in, and that worked out well. So we will sometimes try to help charities through our songs and through the music, but the parodies are just to enjoy, I think.
As you said, you have done some work with charity and that sort of thing, and I know one thing that's very, very close to you, very special for you, is work with missing and exploited persons. It's something that you've been doing for years. Would you talk about that and kind of how you got into that? Because I think that's it's an incredible story, but your sort of dedication to that cause after your involvement with it was over, I think it's a special thing.
Well, one day my 15 just turned 16 year old daughter disappeared from school. And we had no idea what was going on. I was at the gym. I was working out. My wife said, "Gabby's missing." And that was it, man. My heart was in my throat. My stomach was in other parts of my body. Left the gym, sped home as fast as I could, and started the process of trying to find her. Without getting into the details, there's a guy in prison now for a very long time. And it was a three-day harrowing experience where my wife and I didn't sleep. We got incredible help from listeners like yours. And across the country, I did a video, asking people to help, and it went viral immediately. 8, 9, 10 million people saw it, and we ended up working with the FBI and U.S. Marshals and the Border Patrol and everybody else, and we got her back safe and sound, thank God. And again, there's a guy in prison now for a very long time. But that woke me up to what I've been covering in the news, because remember, I was a television news anchor for about 15 years. I was a reporter. Carrie makes fun of me because I say this all the time, but I won many awards for my journalism and all. But when you cover the story of somebody else's missing child, you don't really get it. When you cover the story of somebody, who they found a body of a teenager or something, you're like, hey, you report the story and you feel bad for them, but you don't really get it. I totally get it. And if there's any way that I can help when somebody's missing, I'll post it on my Facebook, on my Twitter. We'll talk about it on the air if we possibly can. And we hope to get some help. I now completely, and I wish I didn't, but I completely understand how they feel now. And again, thank God we got ours back. Many people don't get theirs back, and I'll continue to try to help out on that end if I possibly can going forward.
The work that you do is incredible. I mean, all the help that you provide people is a fantastic thing. If we skip over to work life just a little bit before I let you go, I mean, as I said before, you deal with this every day. Midterms are over now. I mean, where are we? Do we move forward from here, or are we just going to be sort of mired in a going nowhere back and forth for the next couple of years?
What we knew, Troy, was that we were going to have the midterms, and then the 2020 general election would start that day. What we didn't know was that Florida was going to continue to suck at counting votes, and that Arizona would also have some issues. I want to move past it. I want to have some fun. I want to talk about other things than who's got how many ballots and what right versus left politics look like today. It's going to be really hard. As long as this guy is the president, I had a talk with somebody who's a higher up at a big media company. We had breakfast at some conference a few months ago, and he said the worst thing we can do is ignore Trump. The worst thing we can do is ignore the politics of the day. People really are engaged by it. So as much as I like to say the midterms came and went and now we can breathe a little bit and talk about farts, it's probably not going to happen, especially knowing that as soon as Florida is done, and I think it'll be this week, and I think that the lawsuits are going to prove that it's going to be by Thursday, we're going to know exactly what happened in Florida. As soon as that's done, you're going to start seeing 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 different people come out as the Democrat front runners for president in 2020. I don't think it'll happen that soon, but you might even see somebody on the right, somebody who's a moderate Republican, maybe a Kasich, who says, I think we need somebody different than the president as the Republican nominee. So I think that's a long answer to a very short question. Can we move on now? No. We're going to be mired in this for the next couple of years at least, and if the president wins re-election, and I hope he does, then we're going to be mired in this for the next 6 years. The left is never going to say, okay, fine, he's the president, let's stop complaining about it. So I think they're going to be on top of this going forward nonstop as long as he's in that office.
So how then do we get out of this world where it's it's my side, your side politics? There's no middle ground right now, and so I think that's how that happens, is we get stuck in the middle and nothing can happen. Certainly nothing without a prolonged fight. I mean, is there any way to get out of this at this point?
Well, no, because the left is doing exactly what it complained that Trump might do. As you remember in the debates between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, she said how horrific it would be if he didn't accept the results of an election. Well, what we're facing now, and this, listen, if your listeners are Democrat, if they're liberal, if they're progressive, if they're far left, even they have to agree with me. We're facing this only because the left won't accept the results of an election. This is why we're here. This could have gone away a long time ago, and we can actually be debating policy. We're not debating any policy. We're debating whether we like this guy or not. We're debating whether his skin tone is orange or not. We're debating whether he's overweight or whether he should play golf or whether his wife should have, you know, been a semi-nude model back in the day. We're debating whether his son is autistic. I mean, this is all personal garbage because the left will not accept the results of the 2016 election. If they did that, we can really talk about policy and infrastructure and tax code and all this other stuff. We're not talking about that because they won't get past it. So I wholeheartedly blame the left for the rancor that we're seeing right now, for the hatred that we're seeing right now, the left versus right. Because there is some middle ground. Listen, the bottom line is we're all Americans. We love our freedoms and our liberties. We just have different perspectives on how we live through that, on how we realize that. And I would love to have that conversation, but you've heard my show. I have begged people to call in and tell me, why would you ever vote for a guy like Andrew Gillum? Why would you ever vote for a guy like Beto O'Rourke? Why would you ever vote for a person like Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan or whatever? And what we get is nothing. We get critics. Sometimes people will call in, why are you so up the president's rear end? Why do you blindly just accept everything he says? Instead of having conversations on things that are important to families and schools and churches and so on and communities, we have this conversation about why I hate you so much. So I don't think it's going to stop unless the left and the leadership of the left has to do this, starting with Barack Obama on down, so it's never going to change. But they have to actually say, we don't hate them. Let's actually tell them what it is we see as America going forward, and maybe we can find some middle ground. Until the left does that, it's never going to happen. They're the ones that are radical right now. They're the ones that are violent right now. They're the ones that aren't accepting the results of an election that happened more than 2 years ago now.
I covered three of the president's four rallies here in Montana since, July 5th. And I thought it was interesting at this last rally that I went to right before the midterms, I talked with a lot of people, and there was multiple people that shared the same sentiment. I talked with one lady who said, you know, I love the president. I voted for the president, and I love what he's doing, but sometimes I just wish he'd stop talking. Like, sometimes I wish that he would think before he tweets and stuff like that. I mean, is that a general thing, or is that just what we're hearing in Montana right now because he was so focused on this Senate election?
Well, people keep saying that they want him to stop tweeting, but then when he doesn't tweet, they wonder why he's not tweeting. And the bottom line is, when I sat there at the White House across from him, I asked him if he's going to stop. I actually asked him if he's the one tweeting. He said he is, and he's not going to stop because he has 100 million people immediately see his thoughts, his reactions, his policies, his whatever, when he sends out a couple of sentences. It's his best way to communicate, as we see people like Jim Acosta aren't interested in actually telling people what the president says. They're interested in arguing with the president or hitting an intern's arm. He's not going to stop tweeting. I think that the people that say that to you, to be honest with you, they don't want him to stop tweeting. They want him to stop tweeting that way. They want him to tweet, but they don't want him to say the things as directly and as raw and as unfiltered as he does. I don't think we're going to change the guy. And he's definitely not going to stop tweeting. But if you take that question and that conversation with somebody who says that to you to the next level and ask them, well, what if he just tweeted about policy and didn't attack people? I'll bet their answer would be, well, I'd be okay with that as long as he stops this because it doesn't look good when he does this, that, or the other.
Right, and I think that's what it is that idea of, is this really presidential? You know, is this the sort of that high, and it's supposed to be a little bit of a stuffed shirt, very formal thing, and that's not what we're seeing right now. And I think a lot of people are just sort of taken aback of, is this really how this is supposed to work? Because it never has in the past.
Well, my answer to that is it presidential to run, you know, guns into Mexico? I'm going to say no. Is it presidential to have the IRS hold down just conservative not-for-profits? I don't think so. Is it presidential to allow four Americans to die in Benghazi and then lie about what happened about it? I'm going to say that's not presidential. Is it presidential to say, I'm going to go out and see what happened with the BP oil rig and kick somebody's ass? I'm going to say, no, that's probably not presidential. Obama did things that were so incredibly not presidential for 8 years, but they're accepted because he was cool. And he walked into a room, and he was like a rock star. And he could sing like Al Green at the Apollo. So the idea that this guy, with the policies that he's putting in place and the money that we're saving his taxpayers and the jobs coming back and the reinvigorated economy, somehow he's not presidential, but the previous guy was, that ruined the economy and separated us by race, I'm going to reject that almost every time I hear it.
Joe Pags. You can hear his show on KCAP every weekday, 4 to 6 p.m. Joe, I'm pretty much all out of time, and I know you actually have work to go do, so I do appreciate your time.
All right, brother. Listen, I love being on KCAP. I love hearing from people from Montana. They call in all the time, and thank goodness that you guys support the program. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Tell Carrie hello, and keep doing those parodies, my friend.
You get another one soon.
All right, Joe, I appreciate you.
All right, bro. Anytime, man.
I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Coffee Break, brought to you by News Radio 95 KCAP. Be sure to swing back by on Monday for another fresh pod.